Bridgebank helps breakthrough ideas actually break through and remains dedicated to providing financial solutions to the risk takers, the game changers, and the disruptors. Bridgebank, a division of Western Alliance Bank. Bridgebank, be bold, venture wisely.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Elevate your mind, level up your life, and find your intellectual tribe with a master's degree in liberal arts from Stanford. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held August 22nd. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, Tiffany Haddish, actor, comedian, author, has a new collection of essays called I Curse You With Joy, and ever since her breakout role on the 2017 film Girls Trip, Haddish has been on a journey with the highs and lows of fame, processing the traumas of her childhood. I chew up my pain and bring it into me, she says, so I can metabolize it and spit it out funny. I turn my pain into other people's joy, and that brings me joy. We'll listen back to my May conversation with Haddish about how she learned to embrace heartache and make it part of her work. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. You may know actor and comedian Tiffany Haddish for her comedy shows, her latest films, or the one that launched her to fame, Girls Trip, her Emmy-winning turn as host of SNL, or what my kids know her for, voicing Queen Whatever I Wannabe in Lego Movie 2, and her guest appearance on Brain Games. But for her new book, I Curse You With Joy, Haddish says, I'm not wearing any makeup, no lashes, I'm going to spill the tea of my life. All the stuff that makes me more alive, more human, and way more interesting than that beautiful wax mannequin of me in Madame Tussauds. Tiffany Haddish, it is so great to have you on Forum.
Thank you for having me here.
Really glad to have you. Your description of how intimately they had to measure you to make an exact wax replica for Madame Tussauds was so funny.
Thank you. But it is what they have to do. They measure every single inch, nook, and cranny, honey. It is a replica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote, they got so intimate with my nooks and crannies, I thought they were going to take me out to breakfast the next day.
Yes. I was like, okay, we in a relationship. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Next level. Yes.
And you thought they did an amazing job when you saw the finished wax museum replica of you. You thought it was perfect. Except for one thing. What was that one thing?
Yeah. I felt like, yeah, she was perfect. But she didn't have any hurt in her eyes. Like no experience. She just looked so happy. Like, yes, life is amazing. And I'm like, yes, life is amazing. But let me see in that soul. Let me see. You can tell, yeah, it's a doll. It's not a real, not a real person.
She looked amazing in that Alexander McQueen dress and all that.
She did look good in that.
I was so struck by you writing that because I thought to myself, well, what did it tell Tiffany Haddish that she actually wanted to see the hurt in the eyes of the wax statue? Like there was something about it that you said, you know, wasn't quite right. It was giving you the heebie-jeebies. Because I think a lot of people, maybe they would have been happy not to see hurt in their eyes in a statue, you know? So the fact that you actually wanted to made me think, what kind of relationship does she have with that hurt?
I don't know.
Like, do you feel like you've come to some understanding of the role that it has?
Yeah, well, hurt definitely hurt. Well, hurt makes you make adjustments, right? And makes you grow and evolve and give you experience and compassion and understanding and character and survival skills and tactics and techniques to level up, you know, to keep growing forward, moving forward, you know, making adjustments so you don't have that hurt. And there's ups and downs to it. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I remember what it took for me to get to that level where that mannequin was. Right? At that moment in my life. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of work. A lot of, like, you know, missing out on certain family functions and stuff. And just, and making different choices for myself. It took a lot.
Yeah. And all that work, you feel like you can see it through the eyes,
yeah.
Through the soul.
Yeah, you could see it. I couldn't see it in her. Them eyes was perfect. Flawless. No pain. Amazing. She knows nothing of endometriosis. She's doing great.
Talk
it's
about
a mannequin.
Endometriosis, you found that out pretty late, right?
Yeah.
When did you find that out and what effect did it have on you?
It was like 42. And man, it helped me to understand a lot of the pain that I was going through. Why I might have been feeling that way. And
you
thinking
mean
that
physical pain.
Yeah, physical pain. Girl, yes. And I was thinking that was like, you know, that's normal. Like, you're not supposed to feel any pain when your cycle come on. Blood clots are not normal. You know, there's a lot of things that are not normal during your cycle. That'd be happening. I don't know what age group is listening to this show. So I'm going to just say,
all ages,
Google the endometriosis and have fun in that rabbit hole.
But it explained a lot of the things that you had gone through, the physical pain, and also you've been open recently about your miscarriages.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Thinking I was broken. Not broken. Because I can get pregnant. It's the holding on to it. And I will figure out how to do that.
You'll figure out how to get pregnant.
I can figure out how to get pregnant. And I know how to do that part. You know, just the limiting the inflammation and maybe just chilling.
Yeah.
Whatever God has in store, though.
Whatever God has in store. Because I read there was a profile that was done of you in the LA Times, and it said that you have decided you did not want to have kids. But that's not true necessarily.
Like, I mean, whatever God, like, I'm not going to be actively trying. How about that? How about that? Whatever, you know.
You haven't been actively trying for like months, right? Also,
correct.
You have quit alcohol too, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, girl, yes. No alcohol.
So why? Why are you doing that? What effect did it have on you that you felt like you needed to stop?
Well, it seems like it makes me tired. So we're going to just stop that. And then also, when you think about it, sit back and think about it, it's just like, you don't feel good the next day anyways. Whatever, it doesn't feel good the next day. I just want to do things that feel good the next day.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. No, that makes
sense.
When
I go to sleep and wake up and be like, yes, I can move. I can, elbows good, everything good.
And is that how it's felt for the last however many months now?
Yeah.
Like what 5 months, I think?
Nah, almost six now. Or maybe it is six.
Yeah.
When was November 24th?
Yeah, that's almost six, I would say. And you're feeling a big difference?
Huge difference. More clarity, more realization. Like, dang, you know, most of the stuff that goes down that is unfavorable to another human being, there's usually some alcohol involved. I'm thinking.
You wanted to talk about in one of your comedy shows how you bombed in Miami at a New Year's show because you got so drunk the night before.
Yes, girl.
And
everybody was like, no, do not do it.
Why?
Don't do that. Don't talk about that. And I'm like, no, I need to talk about this because I am not the only person that has done this. Stupid shit. It was stupid.
Why did they tell you not to talk about it?
I don't know. Maybe because they wanted me to create a certain image for myself or whatever. But I just feel like, no, I'm going to talk about it because it happened. And it's not the first time it's happened to somebody. And everybody makes mistakes. I don't care. I'm sharing. I'm not flawless. I'm a human being.
Do you want to tell us what happened that night before the big show in Miami?
Girl, so the night before, I was, you know, I had I had worked the day before, flew into Miami, and then, like, my friends were all in town because they were going to go to the show and everything, and they're like, Tiff, we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate. Like, what do you mean we need to celebrate, girl? I'm tired. I just got in from work. I'm on a rest. No, come on. You got to celebrate. You done did all this awesome stuff. You know, Emmy, nominated for Grammy. Come on. All this, you got to, girl, nominated for a Grammy for reading, girl. We need to celebrate. Movie making over 100 million. This coming off all the stuff. I'm like, fine. Fine, we go. And yeah, I drank a lot. It was bad. It was bad. But that was 2018. Was that 2017? End of 2018? No, that was 2018. And by 2019, I had made some changes. Okay, I had to make some changes. Because when I came on the stage the next day, right before 2019, the day before 2019, the night before, I went on that stage and my soul had left my body. My liver was gone. My liver was like, I don't work here no more. I cannot. And I was in a lot of pain physically. And I was like, no, soul, don't leave. My soul was like, I'm going to be over here. I'm not doing this. And then I tried, you know, I did what I could. And it was bad.
So your friends are saying, don't talk about it. Don't put that in your act. But you do years later. And what happened?
And then I talked about it. I put it in my act. And I got nominated for an Emmy. And then I won a Grammy for my stand-up special.
The audience loved it. They loved hearing you tell that story.
Yeah.
Why do you think they did?
Because it was the truth. It was the truth. It was funny. And also, it's like, yeah. I've done that too. I'm not the only person that's done it. And if you haven't done it, you know somebody who has. So.
Do you feel like when people are coming to your shows, that's what they want? They want to connect with something true?
Yeah, I think everybody wants to connect with something real. Keep a little fantasy in there, make it fun, but like, yeah, they want some, like, to be able to identify with something and also just also be entertained.
Yeah.
They know, and it's something about understanding a situation that is entertaining.
And it feels like it has, though, been a process to be willing to be totally real, like to be totally real to people about who you are and the things that you've done. Why did you feel like maybe you should try to hide that?
Because that's what everybody else does. And it's like, that's a lot of work.
I mean, just to exist there.
In that hiding, like, oh, let me hide this, let me hide that. Like, I'm not a chipmunk. Like, I want to live. Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about how being fake can be destructive.
Yes. It takes a lot out of you. A lot of energy that you could be using for good, for healing, for being better, for being the best you. Just be the better you. You don't gotta hide.
Yeah. We're talking with Tiffany Haddish, actor and comedian. Her new collection of essays is called I Curse You With Joy. And you, our listeners, are invited to join the conversation. What do you want to ask or tell Tiffany? Do you have a favorite moment, a joke, a scene that Tiffany's done? Or have you yourself ever turned fear or experiences that were difficult into art? Tell us about it by emailing forum@kqed.org. Find us on our social channels @KQEDForum. You can call us at 866-733-6786. More after the break.
At Star One Credit Union, they're first because they put you first. Ranked number one in the nation for direct financial benefit to their members, 9 years and counting. Star One invests in your best interest with the latest banking technology, an authentic human experience, and effortlessly simple, everyday banking solutions that put you first. They also believe in giving back, donating to over 70 Bay Area organizations annually. Become a member at staronecredit.org or drop by any of their Bay Area locations. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? Now through September 21st, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for $15 a month, add the new Xfinity Stream Saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV+, and Netflix, all for just $35 a month. Switch today. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking with Tiffany Haddish. Her new collection of essays is I Curse You With Joy. She's acted and done voice work in countless films and shows, including Girls Trip, Lego Movie 2, Apple TV's The After Party, Night School, and on and on. Her previous book was The Last Black Unicorn. So I want to ask you about a story that you shared that I had never thought about before. But you said that growing up as a Jehovah's Witness partly helped you be a comedian. How did it help you?
Well, you know, in the Kingdom Hall, they have a theocratic ministry school. And in this ministry school, you basically learn how to have a little charisma, how to, introduce yourself to strangers, how to get them to read a Bible scripture to you, or you read a Bible scripture to them, or to take a look at a track or a watchtower or an awake, some section in an awake, and get them to read it out loud. You know, having personality and yet coming like and being friendly, they teach you how to do that and teach you how to sell. Maybe to sell something. I don't know about sell something, but more so how to share information, how to tell everybody the good news.
Mm-hmm. And you found out a lot of good comedians were once witnesses.
Yes, a lot of them. It's kind of surprising, like. You know, I don't want to be out nobody, but if you read the book, I think I'll drop a few names in there. But it's a beautiful thing, I think. And it goes, no wonder you're so good at, like, talking to crowds and to one-on-one with people. I mean, you go door-to-door. You got to go knocking door-to-door at people's houses and go, hi, can I share a Bible scripture with you today? Did you hear the good news? Like...
Totally. My grandmother was a witness. So, yeah, you had to do that. And you say that it was a community that really a community you needed, at least initially.
Yeah, I think so. Initially, just to teach me people skills and like how to like make friends quick, you know, to where I can get them to help me out different ways. Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting.
But then it kind of changed for you because you started to realize there's a lot of judgment.
Yeah, it's a lot of judgment. It's a lot. It's like, but wait a minute, I gotta look in the mirror too, you know, sometimes. But yeah, it's a lot of judgment. I talk about that in the chapter.
You do. Mm-hmm. It's called Can I Get a Witness? And how comedy clubs, you had that sense of community, but without all the judgment. Can you talk about kind of the support that, you know, the Laugh Factory Comedy Camp or even just comedy clubs gave you when you were really needing it?
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, doing that comedy camp, it taught me confidence and like how to really use my communication skills, how to use what I've learned that I'm supposed to be doing from door to door, how to use that kind of on the stage and like... the who, when, where, what's a comedy and whatnot. And so that gave me confidence. And then there was like all these men around that I wasn't afraid of. You know, they would give me hugs. You know, hugs are good. I like, think my love language is touch. But not from everybody. Not from everybody, okay? I got to at least know you for many, okay? From my mind, I need to know you, okay? So, anyways, get nice hugs, always little confidence boosters, good set, you know, and then maybe some adjustment, somebody willing to help you adjust and grow. That's awesome. And when you can find that kind of community of guys to hang around, that's kind of great. It's kind of great.
Well, let me go to caller James in San Francisco, who is on the line with us. James, join us. What do you want to tell Tiffany
Haddish? Good morning. I've been listening. I've watched you on TV for many years, and I was just listening to this, and I look forward to reading your book, especially because, like you said, it takes so much energy to not be yourself. And you know what? We're all better for being that alone. And I look forward to reading it. And when I was cutting in and out, I heard the mentoring. I just look forward to reading it in the future.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing your opinion of what you thought about reading it. Or you can listen to it in an audiobook, and then it feels like I'm just riding in the car with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, you narrate the audiobook, and it does feel like you're sitting with a friend. You have a chapter called Big Tiff Energy. Tell us about that chapter and what Big Tiff Energy is.
That chapter is about me finding my, like, you know, my finding my cojones, I guess, finding out that, you know, you stand a little different. You move a little different. Confidence level goes up a little bit. And how to, like, kind of carry that regardless of having a prosthetic in my panties or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to read the chapter to know what Tiffany's talking about there.
Yeah.
And you sort of juxtapose that chapter with the chapter where you talk about really wanting to get on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
First, why was it so important for you to get on SNL?
Because I watched it like my whole life and I just loved it. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I wanted to make sketches and do like cool stuff. And yeah, it'll be so great. And I auditioned all these times, didn't get it. And then, you know, I do this movie where I get to express myself and be, you know.
Girls Trip.
Do what I do. And then, bam, I get to host SNL. That's even better. And it was, you know, sometimes your protection is the rejection. The rejection is your protection. Yeah, the rejection is your protection. Because had I been working at SNL, had I got a job there, maybe I would have never got to host it. It was a very hard work environment. It's not like it wasn't for me, but it was fun. But it was a lot of work, and it was, I came with so many ideas, and this is already a machine that's been operating and existing just fine before me, and it'll do just fine after me. But I wanted to, you know, I had all these ideas. I've been writing for years.
You mean for skits?
Yes, for skits, things I wanted to do. And I kept saying, no. And only thing I could control really was my monologue. So that's where I got to create. And then I tried to insert myself in everything. But it was a lot. It was a lot of work. I lost 10 pounds that week. And I learned how to, like, not have control of everything. I didn't have to have control. You know, it was good.
It must have been pretty affirming to have your monologue win an Emmy.
That part. Yes, I can write. Hello. I wrote that. Yes.
But what do you mean by rejection was your protection?
Yeah, because I don't think I would have made it as a cast member on there. And I don't think I would have been able to handle it.
And do you think they would have maybe done something to dampen, like, your creative spirit or who you are because it's such a well-oiled machine that's been kind of doing its thing for decades?
I don't think I would have fit in it. I don't think I would have made, like, it would have been weird. It would have been a major adjustment for me. And yeah, I don't think I would have. I don't know. I understand the hosting side of things, and that I can do. No problem.
Yeah. But
I don't know if I could have been a regular on there.
The protection from whatever messages you would have gotten from trying to be a regular on there and then, like, fighting or struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everything happens the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. It's a really interesting way of reframing rejection, actually.
Yeah, it's protection. I wasn't built for that over there like that. Yeah. I was built to pop in and pop out. Pop in, pop out. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. I think that could totally relate to Lucy's question. Lucy is on the line. Join us. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. Thanks so much for this. I love you, Tiffany. I'm wondering what your advice would be for young girls, like teenagers in particular, who are creative and funny but get so much negative feedback from, you know, social media and kind of, like you were saying, rejection.
Well, first of all, I would say get in front of a live audience. that's where you're going to know if you really suck or not. I think the internet is so toxic right now. It's like spiritual warfare out there. You got to make sure your spirit's strong before you get on the internet. Don't put yourself on the internet unless your spirit's strong. Like, I think you should, like, if you're a young girl, 18 years old, and you want to do comedy, you want to get your feet wet in like some live theater or something like that. Like, go do get in an improv group and then practice in front of a live audience. Get this feeling for what's real. Like, because the internet's not necessarily real. And they love to attack over there. But would they say it to your face? Probably not.
And you have actually, isn't that right? Thanks, Lucy, for the call. Like, tried to reach or call the people. I don't know if it's from social media, but people who have hated on you. How do you do that?
Yes, girl. Yes.
Yes. Tell me.
Yes, girl. Sometimes they catch me on one of them days. One of them days, them endometriosis days, when I'm down and I got a little time. Not feeling very nice. You know. And I'll see stuff, I get to digging and everything, and then I'll call the people. Mm-hmm.
Do you get their number? Like,
sometimes, look, I have my ways. Okay, darling. It's not hard to find someone these days. I will not reveal my sources.
Tell me what.
But it's only like $1.99.
Just to be able to find out what
find a phone number or something like that.
And when you called, like, what has been the reaction? What is something that you?
Oh my God, I can't believe you called me. I can't believe you saw that. You know. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, yeah, I seen it. Why wouldn't I have seen it? You use my name as the title. Like, yeah, you talked about me the whole time. I just wanted to say I see you seeing me.
And do you feel better afterwards?
Like, I do. I do.
Why? What makes you feel better?
I don't know, because I know that shocked them.
Mm-hmm. And chances are they weren't willing to repeat, or do they apologize, or are they like, oh my God?
I don't know. I don't see them no more because I block them.
Yeah, after you shock them. You shock them, then you
know. I see you.
Yeah.
You could, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Tiffany Haddish, actor and comedian and author. You might know her previous book, The Last Black Unicorn. Well, she has a new one called I Curse You With Joy, a collection of essays of all the things that she wants to be able to tell people about facing your fears, about dealing with rejection, about feeling your feels, about being honest and real. And you, our listeners, are writing in with questions and comments. This listener writes, you go, Tiffany. I used to be the last guy to leave the party. I was the craziest, the loudest, the thirstiest. Now, like you, I just want to feel great the next day. Congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Another listener on Instagram asks, do you think joking culture has ever gone too far? And if so, when?
Yes and no. I mean, girl, this is just where we talking about the underground in the joking culture. We talking about in front of the whole wide world. Like, yeah, yes and no. It depends on what, I think it depends on when you were born, you know?
Like, yeah, because
us from the 1900s, we take jokes a little different than them from the, you know, 2010s.
I think
the compassion level might be a little different than you know,
among the younger generations.
You know, the generations, you know, they woke out here. Okay, we might still be napping. Okay, we might be archaic or something, because some of us be like, oh, that was kind of funny, and they're like, no, how could you say that? That's not funny. No.
But what are your own personal boundaries? Like, are there places you won't go in a joke? Or certain, like, I don't know.
See, I'm a little what's that word when somebody, you can't predict what they going to do? It's unpredictable, spontaneous. When, especially, like, I'm pretty, a girl, yeah, I will go somewhere.
And
some stuff, and yeah, I will talk about things. I know there are things you're not supposed to talk about, but I find myself talking about it because it's on my heart. Yeah. So.
And the value of that is probably realizing that people respond to that, as we were saying earlier, a lot better than they respond to something that you're really trying to be careful about.
Yeah. Yeah. Be yeah. real.
Well, you definitely admit when you make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. I do. But sometimes I gotta observe and make sure I made a mistake. Let me research this. Let me see real quick. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. My bad. Sorry, guys. My bad. I messed up.
So this listener writes, you seem really grounded when fame seems to really distort people's worldview. What do you do to help you with that process? Also, love The Last Black Unicorn. Love that you're on the radio today. That's so interesting. I heard you say, I think it was on The Breakfast Club, you said, nobody gives you a manual for how to be famous.
No. And that's what I wanted that book to be at first. At first, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do a manual on how to be famous. So that's what I was kind of putting together. And then I realized, wait a minute. I don't really even know how to be famous. Like, how do you even really know how to do that? That's like, I think it's an individual sport. There's some sort of formula to it. I haven't figured it fully out. I know the formula for success.
Yeah.
But for fame, I don't.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster right there.
You got famous so fast. I mean, you've been working for a really long time.
Not so fast. It took a long ass time.
I mean, coming out of Girls Trip, right? And then all of a sudden it just went.
Yeah, but I started doing stand-up in like 96.
Yeah, you were doing it forever. So it was like you were doing your work. You're steadily doing your work. All of a sudden Girls Trip happens. What's been the hardest part of fame?
I think the hardest part of fame is knowing that people don't really understand you and they're not all going to understand. So, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
What are the biggest misconceptions you feel like people have about you?
Some people think I'm dumb. That's cute. They wrong. And then some, I think I do too much, and I think I don't do enough. But I don't know. I really don't know what the misconceptions are. I don't know the misconceptions that I think for me that I'm working on a daily basis.
Yeah.
To evolve and be better. Do better every day. Every day we get a chance to be better. Every day we wake up winning. Already successful. I woke up. So many people don't get to wake up. I woke up. It's a chance to be better today.
Tiffany Haddish, if you want to ask or tell her anything, if there's anything that Tiffany Haddish is saying that you want to comment on or that has resonated with you, or if there's just something she's done that you appreciate. For your entertainment, for your joy, you can share it by emailing forum@kqed.org, by finding us on our social channels @KQED Forum, X, Instagram, our digital community on Discord. You can call us 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. I'm Mina Kim. I wish people could see you in the studio and the faces you are making at me. They are so funny.
Because I love your voice. Oh. It's so cute.
Thank you. More after the break, I mean, if you...
Star One Credit Union provides you with the tech, tools, and terms to control your money and your lifestyle. Simple, seamless, everyday financial services and solutions. Online and mobile banking backed by the latest technology. Great rates on home, auto, and solar loans. and real people providing real assistance when you need it. At Star One, they always put you first. Become a member at staronecredit.org or visit any of their Bay Area locations. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? Now through September 21st, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for $15 a month, add the new Xfinity Stream Saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV+, and Netflix, all for just $35 a month. Switch today. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking this hour with actor and comedian Tiffany Haddish about her life and her struggles and also all the things that she's learned and all of those gems she's put into her new book called I Curse You With Joy. It's a collection of essays, and a lot of it talks about what brings her joy. Join the conversation at 866-733-6786, at our social channels, or by emailing forum at kqed.org. I do want to ask you about the title, I Curse You With Joy, because do you see curse as an unequivocally positive thing? Because it can also be like, I curse you, like I'm inflicting harm
yeah,
on you.
I'm wishing harm on you. Joy on you. I wish joy on
right.
you. Oh, you unhappy son of a bitch. I wish you joy. Yes. Curse yeah. you with the joy. I feel like it's hard to spread hate when you feel actual like joy. And so much people, I think your words are so powerful. And how you use them and the energy you put behind them. And people put these horrible negative things on the internet all the time. And it's like, I think those words, like they cast a spell. You're putting out a curse. You're putting out a thing. And if I'm going to put out any kind of curse, I'm going to put out joy. And I want people to feel joy so they hurt less. Also, people that don't feel joy are in a lot of pain.
Yeah. So. And sometimes you need to know pain to feel the joy, right?
You do. You do.
So that's where the curse part is.
Yeah, I don't know if that is the... Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, what made me think that was I was reading your chapter about your dad. And
yeah.
you write, if I never had him back in my life... Because your dad left when you were around 3 or 4, mm-hmm. I think. You said, if I'd never had him back in my life, I would never have known how light it felt to walk through the world with my dad by my side. I'd been cursed with the joy of knowing my dad. I knew exactly who I'd be missing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the joy of knowing him was sort of, I don't know, like tainted, or not tainted, that's not the right word, but like there was like a surrounded also by the pain of now fully having to experience his loss. Because
yeah.
he did pass away a few years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, he did. He did. And well, that's more like, you know, I'm glad that I knew who he was when I was little, got to know him then. Because when I reconnected with him, I knew it was him immediately. And that made me feel like a little bit of me was filled up. And getting to spend time with him and get to know him even more made his passing more painful than if I had only known him till I was 3, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I always, always loved him. Always.
He reconnected with you when you were about 27, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 27.
And when you heard his voice, were you surprised at your own reaction?
Yeah, because I wanted to be mean and angry to him. Like, you left my motherfucker. I hate you. Like, yelling the phone and stuff, but... That's not what I felt. That's not what happened. I was so happy to hear his voice. And it was like the little girl in me woke up like, oh, is that you, Daddy? Is that you? Daddy, it's you. Like really happy, really happy. And I allowed myself to feel that and be in that. And that was good.
Yeah. There is something really... I know as soon as I start to feel vulnerable for loving someone, I automatically think, please don't die. Like, or please, nothing bad happened to you.
Yes, because it's going to hurt.
It's like this sense that, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like you don't want to get too close.
Yeah.
As a little kid, you grew up in South Central LA, and you live there now.
I still live there. still in a hood.
Why do you live there? What do you love about South LA, South Central LA?
I know the area. I know the community. And even though it is evolving and changing, I know that community. I know what's going on. And I feel safe there. And people know me there. And they protect me. And I protect them. And I like that.
How do they protect you?
Big guns. Big guns. You know what I'm saying? They got they watching every corner like, yo, Tiff, don't go over there right now. They tripping over there. Like,
you love playing on people's stereotypes.
Girl, they're good neighbors. I got great neighbors. They look out for me.
Talk to me about your plans for South Central.
I want to build a grocery store in South Central LA. And I don't want it to be just any old kind of grocery store. I want it to be like quality, good food in there and everything. But this grocery store also offers financial literacy classes and cooking classes. Because I believe once you understand how money works and how food works, you become a happier, more productive human being. And if you're more happier and productive, your family's more happier and productive. And if your family's more happier and productive, your community is more happier and productive. And then it'd be less need for police. And then there'd be like no more systemic racism.
Why are you buying up some properties there? Like you have multiple.
Yeah, because I want to be the queen of South Central. Yeah.
No, for real.
I used to say that. I used to say it when I was a kid. Yeah, I want to be the queen of the hood. But for positivity, like for bringing joy, for bringing health, for bringing knowledge.
Talk about She Ready and what it does.
So I started this foundation called the She Ready Foundation. And the She Ready Foundation works with foster youth. And at first, we started out just getting the kids' suitcases because when I was in foster care, I used to get moved around and all my stuff would be in trash bags. And somebody gave me a suitcase and it made me feel like I was a person finally, like I was a traveler, like I was on an adventure, like I was a visitor in these people's houses and not trash being moved around. And I wanted to make sure no kid felt like that. I wanted to make sure no kid felt like garbage. They should feel like a person. And so when I got a little power, I started giving out suitcases, and we have evolved from just giving foster suitcases to helping them get internships in careers that they want to be in, helping them get in college, helping with housing, mental health. We have a mental health component. And my favorite portion of the whole program personally is the life skills. The life skills classes, how to be in a workplace, which is one of the classes I show up to because I am still trying to learn how to behave in a professional environment on a daily basis like most of us are because it's always changing. Anyways, there's all kind of classes that we have, though, and I'm very excited about it.
In some of those places you bought, are you seeing them as useful for She Ready?
Yeah, well, useful for She Ready, but also I work with other foundations. I rent the places,
nonprofits.
Yes, to other nonprofits. I team up with others like Butterfly Haven and My Tribe Foundation and help these young people get the housing they need with the job placement and tutoring for school if they need it, like wherever they are, where you are in life at that time.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned earlier that I had read that profile about you in the LA Times, and I actually wanted to ask you about something that was written in there, because I really wondered if you thought it was true. So they wrote, there has definitely been a palpable vibe shift around Haddish. It's not that she doesn't still get work in the last year. She's appeared in Disney's Haunted Mansion, the last season of The After Party, on Apple TV Plus, and filmed a role in the forthcoming Bad Boy sequel. But she's no longer one of those beloved stars everyone seems to root for. Do you think that's true, or have you felt that? Do you think that's accurate?
I still got people rooting for me. People are rooting for me. But then there are those people that are like, I'm just tired of Haddish. Fie to her. I hate her. She makes me sick. Every time I see her, I want to smile and I hate smiling. Or she makes me think of what I could be doing better. Ugh, I hate her. I don't know. There's people that love me and people that hate me. If everybody loved me, I would be concerned. And I don't think everybody loved me at no point in time in my career.
Why would you be concerned?
If everybody loved me, that would be weird. That's not human.
Yeah.
That's not human.
But also would it almost be weird because then it would be like there's no way I'm being totally true to myself because not everybody's going to love me. Or not totally
no, because if everybody, yeah, but not true to your art, but also just maybe you are being true. I don't know. It would be weird if everybody was like, I love you. You're the best. It would be kind of creepy. Right, women? I mean,
yeah.
Every human doesn't like water, and all of us need it. We all need it. But it's a lot of humans that hate water. You know? It's like everybody's like, I love water.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that also one of the things about fame, too, that you've had to navigate like this? Just, I don't know. You have to be so aware of how, where you are and sort of like the general mood.
Yeah, where is society at right now? You know, sometimes you be ahead of your time. Sometimes you be behind in the times. Who knows? You know, I think there's an audience for everybody. Just got to find your audience. I found mine. I know who mine's are, I think. But it's always evolving. It's always ever evolving. So, yeah, I'm here for it. Well, I'm going to still just keep doing my art because it makes me happy. And if it make me happy, I know it got to make somebody else happy. I'm not the only one. I am not the only one.
Well, we have a lot of comments coming in, and a lot of them are about rooting for you. Sarah writes, please tell Tiffany she is one of my absolute favorites. I devoured The Last Black Unicorn and I cannot wait to read the new book. I'm excited to see a strong black woman from LA conquer and be so honest. Bless you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
And another listener writes, I just want to say thank you, Tiffany Haddish, for her courage to share her experience, strength, and truth with the world. I too got sober in 2019, and ultimately this experience continues to teach me the power of sharing our stories without shame. Indeed, it is only when we share our truth without shame that we show others a new path. So the last thing I wanted to ask you about, we could talk about lots of things, but was the time that you hosted Shark Week. And I'm reading this or hearing you narrate it to me in the audiobook, and you're talking about how you thought you were going on a yacht.
I thought it was going to be this beautiful yacht that had like bedrooms in it and like maybe a pool on the back of the yacht, you know, just this beautiful, like, oh, we're yachting, where I could sit out on the deck, you know, just get some sun and then gear up down at the bow of the boat, gear up and jump into the ocean and go look at sharks and then fly, get back on the, swim back up to the boat and get on there and jump up like I'm flying out the water. Yes. And then I'm yachting over the sharks. But that was not what it was. It was a raggedy little fisher boat. Like, not even on no jaw status. It was bad. Like, it's literally a fisherman boat. And it smelled bad. And it was, yes. Nothing like what I imagined. Nothing.
Well, one of the things that happened was they kept, when you were with the sharks, they kept asking you to be more scared, like to act. You were not looking scared enough.
Yeah, I was, because I wasn't scared.
Even though they're coming at you, and there are moments when you can see all their rows of teeth. And all
yeah,
that.
And it was beautiful. Like, okay, here's the thing. Sharks are like, I feel like they like, you know, when you in the hood or whatever, if you make direct eye contact, they not feeling that. They not feeling the eye contact. They not feeling the awareness. They coming for what's weak, you know, what's sick, what's dying. They coming for that. So, you know, you get in there, you strong, you healthy. You paying it, your head on swivel. You see, hey, I see you, Daryl. I see you. Look here, Mookie. Watch yourself. You got to see. You got to pay attention, okay? And then they ain't gonna mess with you. Then you know, you cool. Then you the Little Mermaid.
So why weren't you scared?
B- because I felt like they wasn't going to just put me in there with any old kind of sharks, and I felt protected. And I did as they asked me to do.
Now we all know the truth.
Look at that. Tiffany snitching. Tiffany is snitching on that one. But it was so informative, and I learned so much. And I feel like I wasn't scared because I understood the nature of the shark from all the things I read and what I watched and all that stuff. And yeah, it was really interesting. Did you know that sharks have two penises?
Mm-mm.
They call claspers.
I did not.
They're claspers. Did you know the female shark has two uteruses?
Why are you whispering?
Because it's gross. Because it's so gross. You can't talk about this too loud. It's disgusting. But it's interesting. They got two of them.
I love public radio for what we get to learn every day in the most unexpected places. So the thing that I loved about this story was I also learned that you said going through all that taught you how true it is that you get to choose when you are afraid.
Yeah.
You can't control what's happening to you, but you get to control how you respond, which is like, yes, that makes so much sense. But it is a really hard thing to do. And it's really useful to be reminded of that.
Yeah, you have to be courageous. I was about to say creative-ish, but courageous. You have to be courageous. It's really important.
Well, putting out your creativity, I think, is an act of courage a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's something from deep inside you.
Yeah.
So before we go, I want to hear what goals you have right now that are bringing you joy. I read about the one where you want to be able to do the splits again.
Yes, I'm getting to the splits. I've been practicing. I'm trying to get it down to the ground, girl. Put it down here, bam, 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 like it's 1997.
Why do you want to do that? What are the...
Because I think it means that's like good health, you know, flexibility.
You're strong.
Yeah, you got strength, you know, your hips have still got some motion in them. You know, they're not too stiff, you know.
And you like to garden. You want to...
Yeah, I love gardening. Love gardening. I'm going to be eating some veggies when I get home. Some plums should be ready. Hey, I'm excited.
I love the image of you that you describe of performing for your plants.
Oh, yes.
During the pandemic.
My plant-based comedy.
Yes. How'd that go?
It went pretty good. That harvest actually turned out to be amazing. You know, my sweet potatoes were huge. My cabbage did really well. My collards were impeccable. It's something about talking to the plants. They love it. They love it. They taste so delicious.
Spreading joy. Well, Tiffany Haddish, it has been such a joy to talk with you today.
It's been a joy talking with you, too.
I don't think I've ever had an interview like this. I love it.
I don't think I've ever done one like this either.
Oh, my God. All right. The book is I Curse You With Joy. My guest is Tiffany Haddish. You definitely need to check it out. My thanks to Susie Britton for producing today's segment with help from Caroline Smith. You have been listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation.
At Star One Credit Union, everything they do is in your best interests. They want to make banking easy and help your money grow. So Star One invests in technology to provide you with the best digital banking experience. Need a mortgage, auto, or solar loan? Their rates are stellar. At Star One, they're all about building lasting relationships by providing financial products and services that put you first. Become a member at StarOne.org or drop by any of their Bay Area locations. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? Now through September 21st, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for $15 a month, add the new Xfinity Stream Saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix. All for just $35 a month. Switch today. Restrictions apply.
I'm Kara Newhouse.
And I'm Nima Govier. We're the co-hosts of Mindshift from KQED, a podcast all about challenges and solutions in education.
Our new season is out now, exploring new ways to engage students.
Said Ms. Smith, that was the coolest class I ever had. And I was like, by golly, I've unlocked some sort of secret.
Or how innovative education models can help kids in the hardest circumstances.
A child doesn't want to come to school. That's a red flag for me.
Check out Mindshift wherever you get your podcasts.